Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to this week's Attacking Scrum podcast. Where to begin this week? Right, well, the Welsh regions were back in action. Sadly, it was none from four, but a couple of interesting performances in there, which we're going to be taking a look at. And the Six Nations is just around the corner. So we will be playing selectors. The Mighty Murph has been talking this up for weeks, saying that Wayne Pivak has got to get this right. So let's make sure... Let's make sure your selections are good ones, Murph. And Dan Killick has dusted off his committee blazer for this one, hasn't he? The shirt and tie is out. Chairman of selectors, and he's even going that little bit greyer just to suit the image of a 1960s WRU selector. How are you, Daniel?
Very good. Do you mind holding this a minute? I'm just going to get a Rothmans out of my back pocket. All good, Jed. Thanks for allowing me back on the pod.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. That kind of player who can pick and choose when he decides to come on in. But yeah, we couldn't leave you out for the selection issue, could we?
No, I'm looking forward to this one. And a couple of injuries has kept me out, but good to be back.
Good to be back. And yeah, that's it. It just relieves that bit of pressure on Murph's back from carrying you for all this period of time.
Yeah, cheers, Murph. Really appreciate it.
Right. Chiropractor is floating himself on the stock exchange, I tell you.
we also have an interview with a guy called Pete from the Bears Beyond the Gate podcast. So we'll be looking ahead to the Scarlets Bristol game next week, which I previewed with him earlier on the week, getting the inside take from him about what to expect from Bristol, and they had a very good result this weekend as well. So that'll be coming up towards the end of the first half. We should start though, fellas, by having a look at the Welsh sides in action this weekend, which is all of them, and it's the first time that that's happened for a good while. Let's start Friday night, Cardiff versus Harlequins. Another absolute crackerjack of a game. Such a shame there was no one in the ground to see it, but I really enjoyed this one, but felt it was a massive missed opportunity from Cardiff. Dan, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. Hugely missed opportunity. Cardiff with a better side, bar a couple of key decisions and the odd scrummage in there as well. But a fantastic, to look at the positive, a great game of rugby, wasn't it? And I guess the team talk was done, wasn't it, for for Dai Young, with what the academy boys and what some of the semi-pro players had done, previously. You can't let those boys down. And it was just a magnificent performance, wasn't it? Just like end to end, both sides going for it. But just really disappointing that Cardiff didn't get over the line, because I felt they deserved it.
Murph, what was your similar take?
Yeah, I struggle to work out how they cocked that up so bad. Like, they were in a winning position. At one stage, Kirby Myhill was running at Harlequin's try line, about 5 yards out.
Yeah.
Managed to get isolated, turned over, and anything out of that, any sort of score out of that situation, the game's finished. He got himself isolated. I don't know if it was his fault or the support or what, but they've ended up scoring. They tried to make it even. And then it was a bit of a, Lions 09, where you draw in a game where you should have won, And then in trying to win it back, you give away the game altogether, which is what Rhys Priestland did and Josh Adams did between them at the end in a very Ronan Gara-esque way. Ronan O'Gara. Yeah. So, it's, I mean, lots of people are chatting to people at my rugby club yesterday, says the most they've enjoyed the rugby game in ages. But I was still pissed off with the way they give it back to the opposition.
I was actually. And I felt that in those games, like, because it's one thing, you know, when you're getting outplayed by Munster or Leinster or side with a massive budget and they just blow you away and you're not in it and you go, right, this is another one of those occasions where I couldn't have competed. But to be there in that position with a really good opportunity to win the game, that's where you've just got to think with calm heads. And they were, you know, they trucked it through the middle. They went wide way too early. It was always going to be too risky. Keep it, you know, keep it tight and go for a drop goal. Like, that's all it needed to do. Harlequins would have been way too worried about giving away a penalty to be committing men to the breakdown. Just keep it in the middle, keep it tight. And they were in that position where they could have taken a drop goal. It's not like Priestland has got a small boot on him. You know, I think they could have had a just set it up and done it the old-fashioned way. And they'll be kicking themselves for that, because the minute you go wide, knock it on, you were asking for trouble. And as soon as Quinn's got in their half, you knew, like you said, Murph, it was like 09. You knew there was a penalty that was going to get given there.
Yeah. It's a trait there with the Quinns. This is the way they play, which is very open attacking rugby. Welsh sides on their day, the good ones, are going to cope with that. Yeah. Whereas, for example, any club had come to Cardiff on Friday night, there was more in the like guise of Sale, Exeter, Saracens, Leicester, who they're not a forward-oriented side, but they got that power game up front.
Yeah.
They would have bullied and battered Cardiff and scored less points, but just been more dominant, and Cardiff would have never been in the game. But the way Harlequins play, sides like Scarlets, Cardiff, and on their day, the others as well, will give Harlequins a runaround. Like. So it's a shame that they just couldn't finish it off. I mean, the set piece was wobbling all the way through. I wasn't that keen on the ref either myself, but then am I ever. So, it's just... I'm delighted that everyone got to see a Welsh regional side playing in an entertaining match for a change.
Yeah.
But to cock it up so hard at the end, oh, God.
I wonder whether the, the effects of, of COVID, lack of rugby, all those things just told on the concentration.
I don't think it is. In that scenario, I think that would have happened if they'd have played 15 games, in 17 weeks. I just don't think that's where you've got to have the nous to close a game out and just adapt your style for sudden death rugby. And that's where they got it wrong. They played fearless rugby throughout the whole of the game, and I thought that was brilliant to see. Absolutely loved it. But to me, it just felt like it was one of those occasions where it got to them, and the cool thinking went out the window in the last few minutes of the game. But I mean, realistically, obviously we knew they weren't going to get out of the pool anyway, because as brave as those performances were, they'd taken two thumpings. So it's a massive step in the right direction in terms of intensity, and also perhaps even in giving us a little bit of a gauge as to which of the Welsh players are in, heading into good nick, which of course we'll be discussing in the second half. Right, the Ospreys were in action on the Saturday as well, and we've said, well, I think we gave them a fair bit of stick in previous weeks because they've just not really been at the races. Now, unfortunately, I haven't managed to see this one, and I don't think either of you fellas have. But Dan definitely seems the most clued up on this one, Dan. So this is payback time. This is a massive hospital pass to you. It sounds as though the Ospreys have actually, put together a much more competitive performance in that one. And obviously the scoreline suggested that after 50, 60 minutes as well.
Yeah, Ospreys played some decent rugby. Really good first half performance. And some of the guys, the likes, Owen Watkin played very well. Roots had a top game. Some good scrums as well from the Ospreys. They in a weird way, I think they'd be pretty pleased with elements, well, certainly with the first half and elements of the game. But against that side, it's always going to be mighty difficult, isn't it? You know, I think it was it dubbed in the papers like the battle of the budgets? I mean, it says it all, doesn't it? But they, yeah, some good performances from some of the Ospreys, which is what we need. But ultimately a loss. But some entertaining rugby again. You know, a bit like...
Yeah, it's interesting, these games, isn't it? Because it does feel like, I mean, because the league season has just been so stop-start for all clubs. I mean, less so, I suppose, the Ospreys than for Cardiff and Scarlets. But it's just so, it's so hard to know where to put your energy if you're coaching that side. You know, do you look at going, right, we need to mount a league campaign, you know, a half-decent finish to the league season? Or do you actually really want to battle harden your players and have throw your resource at the remaining rounds of the European Cup? It's a really difficult thing to gauge, because at this point, you know, I think we were all kind of impressed with how Toby Booth started and kind of getting taken over a side that was really a complete mess, and putting together strong, you know, strong, tighter performances. But you're at that stage now where you start wanting to be able to turn them into results, and it's really difficult to know what to do with the end of the season. What would you be tempted to do, well, both of you, if you were in Toby Booth's shoes?
Play the lottery. I mean, the kind of numbers you win on the lottery are probably not enough anyway. For you know, long term budgets going forward. I know it's a boring answer, and sometimes, like I say, being completely disorganized and not really understanding what you're doing on the pitch has got nothing to do with the player budget. But on a long term basis, a bigger budgets for all the regional sides is going to help. Like the English league now is bringing in much stricter salary caps throughout the league, and they're worrying about people losing their jobs. In other words, players, what they really mean is players are not going to get offered massive contracts anymore. So the likes of, say, Piatow, maybe even Randranda, cease to be a viable option if he is on £1 million a year. Piatow doesn't become a viable option for any of the clubs anymore, and he'll probably end up in France or whatever. And I mean, that will, so long as then in some way the Welsh regional budgets are increased by the WIU, it's going to have to come to the WIU, and it's not going to come from anywhere else. Then we'll be on a more level playing field when we play against these sides from over the border.
The expression "don't hold your breath" kind of springs to mind, though, doesn't it?
I'm all
in favour of the tightening of those salary caps, because ultimately, as a fan, you just want competition. That's the thing, is because otherwise it ends up in a position where it's completely dominated by the big sides, and it's not even like football has become that. And realistically, you know that, like, what, there's four sides who can win Europe in football, and they're all owned by either Gulf states or petrochemical companies. And that's the level of rich you have to be in order to compete. Now, rugby can't afford to go down that route where you've just got rich sides. And it has, to a certain degree. I know David Buttress was on the one of the other rugby podcasts this week talking about the salary cap in the UFC. And I think, you know, again, that league, more than anything, needs something in place. And I know it wouldn't be popular with the Irish regions, because they're brilliantly funded, and that's great. But it does nothing for the league's spectacle, knowing that Leinster's thirds can beat virtually anyone else's firsts. So it's not just a gripe about funding. It is about the overall kind of competition of things. Dan, any thoughts on that one?
Everything you said it makes perfect sense, and it's all down to money, and we've been left behind for years now, haven't we? So level playing field would be great for us. I mean, from this weekend, we're slightly going into we're getting excited, aren't we, about the games where we're seeing really good rugby, but there's losses that are coming about regularly, aren't they? But it seems to be a little bit of a change, doesn't there? In that we're getting excited about, I think we're so disillusioned and unexcited by the league that we're in. That, like this weekend, for instance, had a bit of a buzz about it. You know, I can't say I was jumping about the place for it. I wasn't. Probably you weren't, or Murph. But it is more exciting, isn't it, than the URC games?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, excitement levels on Friday, getting ready for the Cardiff Harlequins game is great, isn't it? And it just keeps you thinking again, what if, you know?
How good would it be? How often do we talk about meaningful rugby? And it's just like there's so much more on the line. And I think the Heineken Cup is far from perfect right now. I mean, obviously the last 2 years have been cobbled together and in a weird structure. But even before that, it's felt a little bit lopsided and there were far too many dead rubbers in it. And in a way, this has kind of streamlined things a bit, hasn't it? Because you end up with groups of three rather than four. And so it has meant that at least the fixtures are a bit more meaningful and sides can come in fully loaded. And look, if Cardiff had beat a fully loaded Harlequins on Friday night, or the Ospreys had beaten Racing, it would have meant so much more than if you'd have scraped a win against a Connacht or a Glasgow in the URC. So
for the players as well, Jed, you know, like when you think, you know, the Cardiff guys getting ready for that Harlequins game, obviously nothing hugely positive could come from a Cardiff win other than momentum, a big scalp, things like that. But the players were absolutely all bang up for it, weren't they? Mm. It was a top game. And you just think, I feel a little bit sorry for the players just with the teams and the games they've got to go in. Because mentally, I know they're professional and all these other things, but how do you honestly get yourself up for some of these games? Really?
Well, I'm with you. I can't get myself up as a fan to watch it. It's like,
yeah, and that's
you
it,
know what I mean? I could watch the Dragons versus Zebra, or, you know, I probably could have a look in the shed and see what needs tidying out. You know, I think we all know what the better use of the time is. And that's us who, in theory, are at the... we're in deep on this stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you, mate. The other thing, and again, this is probably pipe dream territory, but you might have seen, you know, some rumours doing the rounds about... I firmly believe this is just rumours, but for the sake of it, let's run with it. Could the Welsh regions join the second tier of the English league with a view to kind of revamping that? Do you think that would be a plausible route, even if it's, you know, not necessarily that realistic? Is that something you'd be interested in seeing, Dan?
I mean, when you say it, it sounds quite peculiar. But because I think it's fairly desperate, the situation. Yeah, I would probably prefer to watch a lot of those games if the Welsh sides were in the, you know, the second tier of English rugby. I probably would prefer that, knowing that there's somewhere we could get to where it would just be brilliant. But I can't see that happening. Can you?
No, I can't. I mean,
I really can't.
In order for it to work, you'd need the RFU to properly fund the championship. And, you know, even before COVID, it doesn't look as though that was likely to happen. So I can't see anything like that. Murph, is this more just social media ramblings that, could you see that as a viable option?
It sounds like something it's journalist made up rather than something based in reality, but I mean,
I think it stemmed from Peter Jackson's.
All right. Well, I mean, if you analyse it, some of the championship sides have probably got budgets on a par with or bigger than the Welsh regions, like the top end of the championship. is.
You reckon?
Well, Ealing last year and Scar.
I think Ealing is the Ealing would.
So that would be tricky. And then, so if it happened, first of all, they were going to ring fence the Premiership, so that would have to be scrapped. Secondly,
well, the official line is it's not going to be ring fenced.
Right,
it's only a temporary measure. But I think they're
benefiting greatly from it, so I can see it staying. And then, even say that aside. Only one Welsh side a season could go up. So it would take you three seasons to get three clubs into the top flight. And then probably after that, the fourth one might not even make it up. So you'd be giving away a regional side.
Yeah.
Potentially. So, no.
They
get, in terms of interest, the English clubs get as much out of this as we do. So if we ever went into bed with them, it would be equal footing for me, or piss off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't think either is on the horizon anytime soon. And while we're talking about development regions, a quick word on the Dragons, who lost again this weekend. I'll do this in like 30 seconds. Half decent first half performance, went in leading at half time, and then looked really ring rusty in the second half, and Benetton came out and scored tries. Very similar to the start of the season, where Dragons had a very good habit of putting together a good first 40 and then just not being able to back it up. And having been on, as we said, their best run of form with a series of postponed games, sadly, it was back to losing ways, and it's, I don't know, I think it's something like 9 losses in the last 10.
It is 9 in 10. Mm. Not a good stat.
No, it's not, and it's lots of questions. But on the plus side, JJ Hanrahan signed. Well, it looks like that's going to be a done deal, which I think is a cracking bit of business. Experienced 10. We've said this a number of times, Murph. Desperate need of other 10s at the Dragons. That's a good bit of business, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just a backup for Sam Davies, so we can have a week off now and again. It's actual pressure on his position. Really exciting. And obviously, as we pointed out in the week, quite a comedy name, JJ Hanrahan, for vintage comedy reasons, and because of what it will auto-correct to if you're not careful.
Exactly. What did you say? It auto-corrects the ha-ha.
JJ ha-ha-ha.
JJ Ha-ha.
It sounds like something off Toast of London.
It does. And it, instantly, as soon as it happened, it reminded me of Peter O'Hanrahan Rahan from the day to day. So yeah. I'm fairly certain he will, there from here on in, be referred to as JJ Hanrahan Rahan.
Definitely.
In the spirit of us getting people's names wrong. So we'll stick with that one. Just quickly to wrap up on the Scarlets as well. So an afternoon to forget for them. They kind of kept it tight for about 15 minutes, and then the floodgates absolutely opened, and they end up getting a spanking by Bordeaux, who it just showed. Bordeaux are a side who are top of the league in France, and the Scarlets are a side who've barely played any rugby since November. So, you know, kind of what did you expect, really? But and a few late changes in that side as well. But they do have Bristol next week in Llanelli, and I caught up with Pete from Bears Beyond the Gate podcast to have a chat with him and preview that game. And you can hear that coming up right now. And then after that, we're going to take a very, very quick break. Delighted to say I'm joined now by Pete Brearley from Bears Beyond the Gate podcast. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, really nice to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, great to have you on. Obviously, we're here to preview the Scarlets versus Bristol game, and full disclosure, we're doing this a little bit 10 days away from the game, during which time there's probably little chance of Scarlets playing any rugby during that time, but we thought we'd get you on to get a Bristol perspective of this fixture. As you head into this one, what's your feeling? Is there a degree of confidence building amongst Bristol after a few decent results?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had a pretty good festive season, mainly, I think, because we didn't play many games before, because the two European ones were cancelled, including obviously your one. And although we lost two of them and then won one against Sale on Friday, I think we saw a definite improvement from the team. And actually, I mean, realistically, We could have beaten Leicester. It was a last minute try from them, I think. And I think what was, and actually down at Exeter the following week, although we, yeah, it wasn't brilliant. What was good that we were much more solid and our pack was competing much more. Our defence was pretty good. And actually, it wasn't surprising that we won relatively easily, actually, against Sale on Friday, a team that we've struggled with in the past. So, yeah, I mean, maybe not a great thing for Scarlets fans to know, but I think we are now coming into a bit of form. We did have a pretty dodgy first half of the season. Perhaps maybe, you know, some of our big players were injured, weren't firing. Perhaps quite a lot of the English teams have worked us out a little bit and we're having to kind of adapt. But actually, I think one of the big things, one of the basics with rugby, is that I don't think our pack was really firing and we weren't really getting a decent platform for the backs that were playing. But the omens seem quite good for us at the moment. We've had some, as I said, three really solid solid games in terms of kind of defence and collisions, and actually look quite good against Sale in attack. So you know, I don't want to sound a little too optimistic 10 days in advance, but yeah, I'm hoping that we can now push on a bit and do well in Europe.
You mentioned some of the kind of the injuries at the start of the season. How much of a loss has Randranda been to Bristol this season?
Yeah, I think in many ways it was probably more a psychological loss, because it was quite a big surprise that he was announced that he was going to be out for, well, initially they said till January, although he did actually come back a bit earlier, having been away with Fiji in the Olympics. And I think it was a big surprise. There hadn't been any inkling that was going to happen. So I think psychologically that probably didn't help both the fans and perhaps some of the other squad. And yeah, I mean, clearly as a physical presence and based on some of the performances he put in last season, it looked like we'd miss him. I mean, ironically, I've got to say, I wouldn't say he's been brilliant since he came back. And I think this is a combination of factors. Maybe he isn't still match fit. Maybe we're not quite using him as well as we could do. I mean, you know, there is this kind of feeling that sometimes when things aren't going right, we just give the ball to Semi and just hope that he does something. But, you know, he often gets double tackled by the opposition. And actually, Leicester and Exeter games, he didn't really play that well. He dropped the ball quite a lot as well and got turned over a few times. So it's, yeah, he is undoubtedly a massive weapon for us. You know, sadly, again, I think he's getting better and better every game he plays. So, yeah, we've got a big game on Sunday, obviously, against Stad, which we're assuming he'll be playing in. And, you know, hopefully he'll be really sharp by the weekend after that.
So, yeah, I'm sensing an air of kind of quiet confidence going into the Scarlets game, Pete. What do you think? What would represent a good result for Bristol in that game?
Well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because, I mean, if we win against Stad, we're in a very good position, I guess. I haven't looked at the mathematics. I mean, obviously, rightly or wrongly, we've already got a 28-0 win against Scarlets under our belt. It makes me wonder that, you know, depending on how it goes for them this weekend, what sort of, you know, game it's required. If they've got nothing to play for and we, you know, have got something to play for to qualify, then, yeah, I mean, I feel like anything, though. You mentioned this earlier when we were talking earlier about, you know, there's always it's always a big game when it's England against Wales and it's English clubs against Welsh clubs, and I'm particularly Bristol against Welsh clubs. And then when I look at your roster of players, you know, or the roster of players, sorry, you know, there's some big names there. So, you know, I'm probably being a little bit overly optimistic. I mean, I don't think we're underestimating how hard it will be to go to the Parky Scarlets, whether there's fans there or not. But, you know, we are, we aren't a bad side and we haven't had a great season, but really we're probably not as bad this season as the table suggests. And perhaps we slightly overachieved last season, but we have got a decent squad. We've got some big players. We've got some heavy hitting forwards. We've got some mobile forwards as well. And as I say, we've got a bit of stardust. And I think, you know, as a fan, we have to be positive, we have to be confident, and you know, we are on the up at the moment. But that said, you know, I'm not being sort of blindly optimistic. I think whatever the situation, it will be a good game of rugby, and it will be competitive. And I think really that's what we all want as fans.
100%. And obviously you mentioned there the squad. We've got to ask you this, being a Welsh rugby podcast, given how many Welshmen there are in that side. I suppose one that jumps out is Callum Sheedy, given his kind of his rise to playing for Wales this season. Been a bit of speculation with regards to his future. AJ McGinty coming into Bristol next season, with Callum now having Welsh caps. If he wants to continue that Welsh career, he's kind of got to move on at some point. Is that something that the Bristol fans are expecting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, yeah, realistically, that is definitely something that's on the table. Callum's a funny one. I mean, he is a very, very well respected. He is very much loved by the fan base. He's come up through the academy. He's a very, very, I mean, he's a sensible old head on young shoulders. He's reliable. I mean, his kicking is very reliable. But there have been questions asked about his form, not just his form this season, but, you know, his ability, where it actually can go, and if he's actually just sort of limited. And I think even watching AJ McGinty on Friday for Sale, you know, he did offer quite a lot of different things that Callum doesn't offer. But it's difficult, because I think Callum works to a system, and we suspect that, you know, he is a system man. He is a Pat Lamb system man, and perhaps sometimes his individuality has been stifled a little bit by it. And I would say that, you know, those performances he's put in for Wales, he's looked pretty good. I mean, I think he looked very good. And I do wonder that maybe that, you know, if he wants to perpetuate his or develop his future, going back to Wales could well be something that, you know, is something that happens. If that happens, I mean, I'm sure he'll go with a heavy heart, and he'll also go with a lot of credit in the bank. I mean, we've also, you've mentioned another young Welshman we've got, which is Ioan Lloyd. And, you know, there's no doubt that kid is gold dust.
He's absolutely, that you mentioned, yeah. Stardust. He's definitely got he's a real jack in the box with a hell of a lot of tricks.
Problem with Lloyd is that we don't quite know what his best position is. And a lot of people think he is a long-term 10. I mean, he's potentially too small to be an international fullback or a winger, not necessarily. And I mean, there's been a lot of clamouring about getting, you know, Lloyd having a run at 10. But obviously the signing of AJ McGinty, and with Sheedy still there, you know, has put that up to doubt. I mean, some people have been saying that, you know, he may get a start at 10 this weekend against Stad, because that sort of footwork at 10... that he's got, you know, can maybe unlock the door for the likes of Randranja to hit some space and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's a great problem to have, isn't it? We've got three things. I mean, my instinct is that I think Callum will be heading back to Wales at some point. I think it's inevitable. But having said that, you know, who knows? I mean, Pat Lamb is a pretty pragmatic person. I mean, yeah, he signed AJ McGinty, but, you know, if we get one injury, and, you know, and this is the one problem we've had this season, is there's no real competition for Callum Sheedy. So he may want to keep hold of him. And he definitely played better on Friday with AJ McGinty on the pitch. He definitely upped his game a little bit. So maybe Pat will want to keep him to keep the competition going. So, yeah, this is one that will run, no doubt. And undoubtedly we'll find out in due course.
Yeah, well, look, great to get your insight, and hopefully we'll be able to see Scarlets versus Bristol in front of a packed house at one stadium or another at some point in the near future, even if it's not this game. But yeah, thanks very much for joining us on the Attacking Scrum.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Right, boys, into the second half. This is the serious business of selecting the squad for the Six Nations. So Murph has been outspoken in his criticism of Wayne Pivac. I think we all said that it was a very, you know, the selections so far have not been particularly particularly inspired. There's been a few head scratchings in previous squad selections. Dan's even got a marker out here. Look, Murph, he's got the big pen out.
I think it's a bingo dobber.
That's it. Yeah, maybe he's playing attacking scrum bingo.
Yeah.
Rothmans. There we go. That one. Cycling. That'll be coming up soon.
Yeah. Virology. getting someone's name wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh yeah. That's it. Just sweating on the cycling reference then, and he'll be in for a full house. Right. Let's establish a few ground rules then. So Wayne Pivak names his side on Tuesday. So in tried and tested tradition, we're going to be naming our side today. Now, in the past, he's gone for kind of a 36 or 38 man squad. So what do we reckon here? I reckon this is probably going to be a 36 squad. I think we should go for that.
Why makes you say that, Jed?
So that's why do I think he's gone for that?
36, yeah.
Well, I think that you've got to keep things a bit tighter. I think what will happen is it will be a tight 36, and then there'll be players added to it throughout. So as the George Norths get, become fully fit, I could see him not being in that initial squad and then getting drafted in as it goes on.
It's a tight 36 if he doesn't pick any injured players. Like there's already talk of Faletau's not going to be ready. He still hasn't played, but they're hoping he's going to be fit for the late February game, is it, against England? I'm not sure exactly
when. Yeah, that's late Feb.
Well, that was the gist of the article I briefly scanned through. And so if he's picking a guy who's not ready for the first two games, then he needs to pick 38. But if you're just going to do what he did in the autumn, which is pick people who haven't played all season who aren't fit, then you're just going to end up picking the rest of the available Welsh players throughout the tournament as the injuries come in and all the other different issues come in.
The important bit is, what are we going to do? And that's over to the chairman of selectors. Chairman of selectors, what are we doing here?
Evening, we'll be going for 38.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, 38 man squad it is then.
Is it not a second? A set amount.
No, there's not, I don't think, for the Six Nations. I think it's only World Cup when that happens.
Yeah.
I think
it's quite low, isn't it, for the World Cup?
It's 30 for the World Cup, yeah. Which is super low, which is why you end up with business like Gatland only taking two hookers in 2015 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's so low, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's so much more exciting, isn't it? Like, it's a... I don't know, there's more jeopardy on the line. You would think that the Six Nations would impose one, but I don't know, maybe they can't.
It makes you 38. A bare 30 makes you pick utility players, doesn't it, in your squad?
Yeah.
Whereas 38, there's no need, really. Well, there isn't. There just isn't any need.
All right, let's start up front then. Lou said props. So Wyn Jones picks himself for me. Are we in agreement on that?
Yeah.
So Wyn Jones straight away in there. I'm right. Are you writing this down, Dan, or have you just got that pen for show?
It doesn't actually work, this pen, yeah. But,
It's just in the top pocket of his blazer there.
That's it, yeah. All right, I shall write this down then, just so we have record of it. So Wyn Jones is straight away in there. Now, for me, Nicky Smith goes as second choice, Lou said. Having not featured in the autumn, for me, Nicky Smith is the one I would be having in there as probably, my second choice, Lou said.
I'd probably go so far as to say he is, to borrow the NFL parlance, balling at the moment, Nicky Smith. I think he's playing... I think Pivak must have pissed him off. As he is playing really well, and the guy who took his place in the Autumn series still hasn't, as far as I can tell, started a game for the Ospreys, Roger Jones. Yeah. I still haven't seen him in the starting lineup.
And he was, Nicky Smith was playing really well, wasn't he, when he wasn't picked?
Yeah, he started the season okay. He's gone up again now, I think.
Yeah, he's got to be in, hasn't he? It's a must.
I think so.
He's playing better than Rhys Carey is.
Yep.
He is, he just is. And like, he, you know, based on previous selection form, Roger Jones will be picked up for both of them.
I think the key thing with Nicky as well is that we've got to we got to pick our strongest scrimmages, didn't we? In like on the bench as well.
I think so.
In this Six Nations, I think. Because we've gone with a good scrimmaging, well, good scrimmaging front row and then mobile on the, you know, mobile bench, to come on. Or we've done weird stuff and we've gone mobile to start. And then I think we've got to have out and out scrimmages in this Six Nations.
Okay. What does that leave for third choice, Lou said then?
He's Carrie.
Well, I mean, realistically.
He went well Friday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, again, you know, showed what he could do.
Did he score? Did he score a try? No, I'm not sure if he did.
No, Domachowski did, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The one thing's a really underrated player, by the way.
Yeah.
I think he should have been capped over the summer.
Cardiff fans love him, don't they?
Mm. He's a good player, I think. Yeah. One of those players. I don't know. I just think there's enough about him to suggest that he might be able to make a step up. But I don't for a minute think Pivak will do that. So it probably is Carrie, isn't it? It does give you then an option. But I mean, part of me is tempted to, if we were genuinely selecting this, part of me would be tempted to say, just leave him at Cardiff and get some game time rather than holding tackle pads.
Well, if Rob Evans was on the pitch more often, fit more often, I would go for that. I would go Rob Evans, Wyn Jones and Nicky Smith. But he makes his comeback and then he's gone again with the Scarlets and doesn't leave too many options around the rest of the...
Well, the other options are the two Ospreys who featured in the autumn, aren't they? And that's Gareth Thomas and Rodri Jones,
you
mentioned.
Was one of them picked as a tight head, though? I think one of them was picked as a three.
Yeah, you might be right.
Gareth Thomas does get on the pitch for the Ospreys, but it never starts.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So,
all right.
You know, if there was some kind of element to the guy who you think, well, he's a massive prospect, he's only 19, he's only 20 or something like that, but he's the future or something, but there's anything like that going on. So he has been picking him, so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he makes the, especially if he picks 38 men, I would imagine he probably makes the squad that way, but I haven't personally seen anything that shouts international rugby. Maybe I'm missing something on the guy, I don't know, but
he could be picking Rodri as in this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What are you saying then, Dan? Who are we going with?
I would say Carey.
Okay.
I really want him to massively step up. He's got it all, hasn't he? He just needs to.
Well, crucially, he doesn't have scrummaging. He doesn't right now, and that's not to say that can't happen, or he can become a solid scrummager. But at the moment, it doesn't. Again, the limited knowledge I've got of scrummaging, you just know that lot of games he's been on the receiving end of.
Can give you excuses though there if you want.
Please do.
For Friday night, the real pressure was coming from Will Collier. I don't know. Joe Malia didn't seem to be going all out at scrum time. And Will Collier is an underrated scrummager, the tight end for Harlequins. But yeah. he had a back row forward behind him in the scrum.
Yeah, good shout.
I'd much rather have Will Rowlands or dare I say it, Alan Wynn if he's fit, or even Adam Beard. So there is a little bit of mitigating, but you're right. He can, especially against South Africa was the one. That's the one that's sticking in everyone's memory. But they do that to everyone, you know, almost everyone. Like, for example, Vincent Cock is leaving the Saracens this year. Their scrum is going to suffer in the big games because the next guy playing for them is not the same standard. So is he going to Sale, Vincent Cock? I can't remember. I don't think they got enough South Africans up there. So the English Premiership is getting basically like a South African academy, because Leicester have transformed themselves on the back of signing loads of South Africans. Sale have done the same, and there was already lots sprinkled throughout. You know, look, for example, Harlequins could have probably won much more comfortably against Cardiff on Friday if they picked Andre Oosterhuizen, who was the best centre in the whole of English Premiership. So, it's like a South African academy at the moment in England.
Yeah, that Cock would be is a brilliant signing, isn't he?
Yeah. I think he's a big scrummager.
I think it would be... I'd like to see Carré behind with two good scrummaging second rows and some scrummaging back rows in a way as well, which I know he's had for Wales in the odd game, but it's been up against really, really tough opposition. So then I think
that doesn't. I mean, look, realistically, he's going in as third choice. I'm a big fan of his, but that's the area. That's not the first time we've seen him get going over at international level in the scrum, and that's because it's insanely hard to scrummage at a test match level. So, I'm certainly not giving up on him yet. But anyway, as usual, boys, we spent 15 minutes talking about loose head prop, which means we're going to be here all night.
We've got to get the front row right, though, haven't we? If we get the front row right, we win the Six Nations, isn't it?
Sure. Well, this is where it gets really fun. So, no Ken Owens at hooker.
Oh dear.
So, at least I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, what are we looking at here then? It was another horror show from Ryan Elias at the line out today.
Was it?
Yeah.
Holy it was horrific. Shit.
To the point where at one point Liam Williams fielded a ball was running backwards, wanted to grab it and take it quick, ran into the advertising hoardings, knocked it over and still took a quick throw instead of it going to a full line out because the Scarlets line out had been that bad.
I thought you were going to say he was taking the line-out throws, Jed.
like France in the 70s.
There was quite a few wingers used to throw in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We might have to, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that said, Elias is chalked in as... he's inked in as one of those choices in hooker for me. I just think you have to. I think you've got to go with people with experience and he's got that.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Elliot D fit?
He didn't play. He didn't play this weekend, but I think he's supposed to be fit in time for the Six Nations. So again, working on that assumption, he's definitely in.
Yeah,
which leaves you really with not a lot. It leaves you with Brendan Rodgers and
Brendan Rodgers
and Derry Lake, I think, really, isn't it? Or Kirby Myhill.
Yeah, Derry Lake's lineup, that's a real issue, isn't it?
I think Derry Lake's a long, is he
starting the starting two at the Ospreys at the moment, or is it
it's Elvis Tyone
Elvis, games, right, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. It's gonna be Brendan Rodgers again, I think.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Dan?
Yeah, I think it will be, won't it?
Well, that throw in he did straight off the bench.
It was a beautiful throw. That
you could argue if he's doing that regularly, he should be captain.
Well, he could. Yeah, yeah, he could well start, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I just double checked that as well, having not seen the Ospreys game yesterday. Darryl Lake started, of course.
Yeah, but generally Elvis
has started most of the. All right, we're going for God. What is his actual name? I just call him Brendan Rodgers.
Bradley
Roberts. There we go. Thank you.
Given a few seconds, I can get anyone's name right.
Right, tight heads.
The Thomas Francis is head and shoulders above everyone else in the country.
Will Griff John pulled out of the game today, which I'm hoping is a niggle rather than anything more serious, because again, I think he gets in the squad.
And also, it might have been Six Nations in mind when he pulled out, because it's 3 weeks to go. So he also is a
hopefully, good scrummager, isn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah, but again, he's not played much rugby this year, has he?
Hasn't played.
I mean, the Scarlets generally haven't played much, but. But yes, Dan, is that your fax machine I can hear going off in the background?
Yeah, sorry, there's just some order coming in now.
That's it.
And the 20 boxes of Rothmans. Thank you, Dilif. Sponsorship's working, Jed.
It is. I know. That's it. Right, Will Griffjohn then still goes in. Let's work on the basis that he is fit.
Yeah. Tactical today.
Well, it wouldn't stop, even if he wasn't fit, it wouldn't stop Pivac from pitting him anyway. So it's not a consideration, fitness. Yeah, now we're down to me, Dylan Lewis has been the guy who's been getting the third slot. Personally, I don't think he scrummages. Well, he doesn't start that many for Cardiff. Mm-hmm. I think because he's going to be under pressure in his scrummaging. So I personally, based on not many minutes at all, but I go Leon Brown.
Dan?
So that would be Thomas Francis.
I go Dylan Lewis as the third choice. So if we're saying Francis and Will Griffjohn,
Will Griffjohn
going as the first two.
Yeah, cast
Leon out. Leon Brown or
Dylan Lewis or Roger Jones on one side of the scrum.
Yeah, Gareth Thomas, I think, played three. I don't know if he played three or one. I'm not sure.
I'm sure Thomas is a loose head by trade, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because he started a lot of games at one with Tom Francis at three.
Right, okay.
Well, I mean, Roger Jones can play either side, can't he? So I think he'll be there for sure. I really do. I think it's a cert that he'll be there.
Theoretically, he can play 10 as well, but he never actually starts a game, so you'll never know if he actually plays any position. He's just like he's like an idea more on a player.
Yeah, he did a couple of last season he did scrummage. I think it was last season he did scrummage really well, didn't he? In a few, he was pretty destructive. But I'm gonna go Leon Brown.
Okay, well that's two votes to one. I mean, I like Leon, and I hope, but he's played so such little rugby that is definitely a concern. Right, okay.
For a normal coach, it would be a concern, but not for our wing.
You really tickled yourself.
Loves people picking unavailable players. He just loves it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's it. Right, so for the second rows, Alan Wynne-Jones is definitely out. Now, I know he'll be in Pivac's side, but he's definitely out. So how many second rows are we gonna take? This is where it all gets blurry to me.
Yeah.
No matter whether your name is 36 or a 38, this is where it gets real blurry.
Should have had a framework ready for because sometimes they do four, sometimes they do five. Well, look, there's obvious ones who are going to go, isn't there? You know.
Beard is in.
A Beard and
Rowlands.
Will Rowlands.
I think Seb Davis has to go now as well.
Yeah, he's probably in the form of his life, I would say.
And again, can we have less arsing around trying to play him as a back rower, please?
Yeah.
Like, just for me, in there as a second row, and yeah, you're right, he's playing a lot better, both in the grunt work. I thought his leadership in those games, those Dirty Dozen games over Christmas, and then, you know, some nice touches with the offloads that we know he's got, and this kicking game. Seemingly everyone seems to be absolutely fine with. I for one am. I think he definitely goes in there as well. Then after that,
Ospreys.
Where are we looking?
Reece Davies.
You like Reece Davies? Yeah, I do.
I really like him. Yeah.
Yeah, I do, but I'm not sure if Wayne has had a serious look at him yet. He got picked up as a late replacement, didn't he? And then didn't feature, if I remember correctly, in the autumn.
In the big performances for the Ospreys, last year he was the guy leading the charge, wasn't he? Really taking it to the other sides.
Yeah. Who else was involved in the autumn?
I know he's had a few niggles, but I dare say Chris Chunza will be somewhere in the squad.
Yeah. As a second row, though, he haven't played there yet for Wales.
What did he do? Just come off the bench as a six, did he?
Played six. Definitely in the last outing six. He might have been second row in the first.
Yeah, that's
one.
Right. No, he came off the bench as a six as well, didn't he? Yeah.
He does look still, I've said it before, he still looks a bit light for international second row work. But
you're a bit worried about him in the second row, aren't you?
Well, the frame is so big. I think you'll get there eventually. I can't think who else well, Alan Wynn started the autumn as well and then got injured. But there must have been...
Ben Carter would be Carter. The other one.
Oh, Ben Carter. Sorry. Ben Carter's probably going to be carry on being involved as well, I'd imagine. Because, I mean...
Well, yeah, I'd have him in there as well. Because, again, he's just a real kind of nuts and bolts second row, isn't he? Mm.
Yeah, so that's four.
I think that's probably...
Four, yeah. And then if you pick Shunza in the squad, you've got a little bit of cover there as well.
Yeah, that's probably it, isn't it? Mm. So Rhys Davies misses out, are we saying?
Oh, right. Depends on how many second rows we're taking.
You have four in a 38-man squad, don't you?
Yeah.
You take him over Carter, Dan?
Over Carter, it's hard.
Go on. I was just going to say, he came from Bath, didn't he, Rhys Davies?
He did. Yeah, he did. He put in some good shifts there as well. I don't know. He doesn't catch the eye, but when you watch the games, he's involved in so much. His work rate is crazy. His work rate's really, really high, which I know Carter's is as well, isn't it? Seb Davies has got a little bit of X factor about him. He's playing really well, isn't he? So maybe he does. Maybe he does. He probably does narrowly miss out, but it's a great guy to call up if we have a knock. I think he's, you know, pretty hard done by, really. But yeah, maybe he misses out then.
Yeah, I mean, look, first choice is going to be Adam Beard and Will Rowlands. Seb Davies is probably the form second row outside of them, and then you've got to choose between Ben Carter and Rhys Davies if you're going for four. And then you've obviously got the.
I mean, you could put five. You could put five in and have Rhys Davies.
You could, but but if they're going to pick Shunza as a back row cover, he's also a bit of utility for the second row. So,
all right. Let's start having a look at the back row then as well, because what that will probably mean is you have six or seven, depending on what you want to do here. If it's 38, you probably have seven back row forwards, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, bare minimum six. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think you have seven here. So let's start with the troublesome position of number eight. So Wainwright is in.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, what are your thoughts on Morgan Morris?
Been playing well. He's definitely been playing well. Good number of people saying he should be involved now. I'm not sure whether he's going to be there internationally, but we haven't got a great deal of options, have we? And he is, you know, he is an eight. He's an out and out eight. So, yeah, probably, you know, probably going to have to come in, isn't he?
I can't think of it. If we're not picking Toby, which we can't, then
not sure.
Realistically, I don't know who else there is. Moriarty's on the way back to fitness, but again, if we're sticking to this, let's only pick players who are fit at this stage, then you can't pick Moriarty.
No, if Moriarty was fit, I definitely wouldn't pick Martin Morris. Morgan Morris. if Moriarty was there, I wouldn't bother myself. But in light of the fact, both him and Faletau are not ready, for the start of the tournament. They might have to. Otherwise, I mean, obviously, Navidi's not back either.
So, Navidi's not back. And both of them who can play eight is not likely to feature either.
So maybe Rodri Jones can play eight. I don't know. Possibly. and then, you know.
Rodri Jones, the concept, can play eight.
And it gets really, you know, you're looking at. Ellis Jenkins has covered eight in the past.
Exactly.
You don't want to start an international game with Ellis Jenkins at eight. If he has to end up there, fine. But they might have to turn to. I'm trying to think. I feel sorry for Josh McLeod and people like that.
Yeah, that's rough luck, isn't it? He's been out for a year, and is it twice he's been in the squad and got injured and. Never had that cap. But yeah, I mean, you know, he is a player who could obviously cover six, seven and eight, isn't he? But yeah, again, unlikely to be fit.
Yeah.
I think it has to be Morgan Morris, really, doesn't it? I mean, I think
we need a specialist eight, don't we? We need.
Well, I think based on previous, for us, that's the way we would go. But based on previous PVAC selections, he will pick Wainwright and then go for the almost fit guys, both of them, Moriarty and Faletto.
Yeah. All right. What are we doing then, Dan? Final say.
I pick him. Yeah, let's pick him. Let's have an out and out eight.
Fine. Yeah, go on. I like that. Good conviction.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at sevens then. Ellis Jenkins is in for me. Mm. A couple of concerns. I didn't think he had his best game on Friday night, actually. Those two penalty decisions that went against him. Yes, you know, in other games that might not have happened, but that was a little bit frustrating. But the guy's class, and for me, he'll be captain in the side as well.
Yeah, squad captain. Yeah.
Yeah, so Ellis Jenkins, we're agreed, is in as a seven. Then outside of that, Thomas Young was there in the autumn.
Mm. I think he'll go. Two sevens will be Ellis Jenkins and Team Basham.
But is that? I mean, we're talking about Ellis Jenkins as a seven here. You know, is he likely to play as a seven under Pivac? Or, you know, is he a six at international level with a?
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. I don't know. In the autumn, he was a sixth.
He was.
Yeah.
I mean, look, but either way, Basham's in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the blind side is actually a bit tricky with Ross Moriarty.
I think Shane Lewis-Hughes has to go.
I agree with you.
I think I need a bit of bulk in a back row. Mm.
We need a line-out option as well. 6'4", big man at six.
I mean, if you start looking across the other regions, like not much on the blind side in the absence of Dan Lydia to the Ospreys.
No.
Leslie are using their main blind side is Blake Thompson.
Yeah.
That leaves you with Harrison Keddie.
Yeah.
At the Dragons. So it's really, without Moriarty fit, it makes this more like, I don't know how far along he is with his shoulder injury, but makes it more likely he's going to go in as an injured player.
Yeah, and that could happen. If we're sticking to our policy, he doesn't go in. I think the reality is that he's likely to.
Well, the shortage of eight and the shortage of six, he's likely to get a pass.
Dan, do you want to renege on this policy and put him in, or what are you thinking?
Well, Moriarty.
Hmm. He is going to play a Six Nations game. I've no doubt about it. If he gets fit, all it'll take is like 50 minutes for the Dragons where he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right for him, though. I mean, the weight.
Well, it's probably Harrison Keddie then, otherwise.
You know, Harrison, yeah, we got, was it Jack Morgan?
Oh, well, that's it, unless you pick another seven.
Yeah,
Jack
Morgan,
Jack Morgan and it's Jenkins six.
Seven. Yeah, good point. But that's a very mobile back row then.
It is. You know. It is a small, yeah. As well, that's why I think Shane Lewis uses.
Mm. Shane Lewis uses in for me.
He's got to be.
And you have got Morris in there, and you have got Wayne. I know Wainwright is an athlete, but he's at least, you know, he's a big enough player to play six or eight.
It is small though, isn't it? It's a small.
It is, yeah.
You know, these are small back row options.
Shunza.
Yeah, Shingler.
He would be the seventh.
Yeah. Are we saying there's no hope for Thomas Young?
No, I'm not saying that. I just don't think he got...
Well, I mean, it's another bloody seven.
Yeah, and he didn't get much of a look in the autumn. So he could get picked as a six. He normally plays six for the Wasps. So, or quite often anyway. So that wouldn't be impossible either. But that, again, you're committing to a really lightweight back row there.
Yeah. We it looks like we are going to have to go with a lightweight back row.
Yeah,
really?
and
just a pure pace
based on a lack of options.
I know he's had a few niggles, but barely played any first class rugby. But I think Shunza will be in the squad.
Hello, do.
Do you think
is he in ours? Yeah, I think he will.
Well, there's no, if he's, based on what he did in the autumn, there's no point in leaving him out now because it went well in the autumn. So, and he's a development player. He's a bringer honor, like, if you know what I mean. So there's no point in actually overlooking him now unless he's injured.
I just wonder whether they might, just for those autumn, you know, bring him in, give him a little taste and then leave him out for... Gatland had a bit of that in him, didn't he? Leave him out Gatland. For a bit. But
yeah, but that would normally be with a teenage winger. Pick them at the age of 17 and then don't look them again until they're 20 and then find out they're crap.
Yeah, he did do a fair bit. He did do a fair bit of that, didn't he? A
little potted history there for you.
Yeah. I remember it well.
Okay.
Right, here's where we are, panel, right, is we have Wainwright, Morris, Jenkins, Basham and Shane Lewis-Hughes in, and we're saying there's two more berths. I think Shins is probably one of them because at least there's a bit of size there. Yeah, well, I don't know. What do you reckon, Dan? Oh, he's not having it. Here's one for you. Here's a left field one for you. And he's probably a seven again. Tommy Reffel.
Oh, good player. Very good player.
He struggles to start that many for Leicester now. I mean, not that that's an issue. We just need someone who's upright. We can play back row and got two legs and two arms.
He's a lovely player, but the thing is... What we need, what we're struggling with is the eight and the six. So it kind of
again, he's not a particularly big guy either, is he, Reffel? He's another
he's not
5'11", 6 footer.
I wonder whether Morris will miss out then. And
I don't think he can. There's no size at all if he misses out, is there?
Well, he's not a big guy anyway.
Yeah, he's a small.
But there's some, you know, there's some squat and some bulk to him. You know, he looks like a number eight, doesn't he? Mm.
I wonder whether he'll miss out though. Then
he looks a bit like a hooker as well.
We'll have.
Oh, it's the same thing in this day and age, isn't it?
Yeah. See, you know, Alfie Barberi.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, great player, isn't he?
Mm. Oh yeah, he's top.
He'd be in our squad.
Yeah, can we call him that?
I think he'd be in. I think he'd be in most squads, wouldn't he? I think he's an outstanding player.
So I think Morris is going to miss out then, I think. So I just have
Never mind what Pivac's going to do though, Dan. We need to find two back row options here.
All right.
And at the moment, Murph is dusting off his boots.
God.
The Glamorgan Wanderers socks.
Yeah.
Well, look, I've got to leave the forwards to you boys, haven't I? So.
Well done. Very, very...
I think Shinza's in.
Front bench politician that was, passing the buck on to someone.
Well, you both think Shinza's in, don't you?
I don't think there's actually that many calls to make between, you know, because of what's available. There's only kind of Thomas Young, you know, yes or no. And then Shinza probably... and the others we've mentioned probably all get picked because of the absence of Faletau and Ross Mariati and Tips and
Navidi,
Josh McLeod. So we're just picking what's left in a way.
Would you have Jack if Jack Morgan's in? So if Jack Morgan's seven.
We've got six sevens in the squad.
Yeah.
Ellis, we haven't got Jack Morgan at the moment.
No. Ellis Jenkins, at this rate, is an eight.
Yeah.
Wainwright's an eight. Jack Morgan's a seven. But Basham is a
seven. Rodri James, nine. Seb seven. Davis, ten.
Shane Lewis-Hughes, six.
Sorry. Right, what you've got here then, what you've got here at the moment... This is where Jack Morgan gets in. So you've got Wainwright, 8. Morris, 8. Jenkins, 6. St. Louis Hughes, 6. Shunza, 6/2nd row. Basham, 7. And that's where Jack Morgan gets in.
Yeah. Well, it's a straight go there. If we go that way, it's a straight choice for...
The thing we haven't said about Morgan, right, is he is proper X-Factor. I have no doubt he has all the raw ability to be a proven...
Yeah. Well, it was surprising the autumn that he wasn't in the squad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a straight go based on what we've done. It's a straight go between him and Thomas Young.
Jack Morgan for me.
Yeah, me too. It's a progressive, future based. So why not?
Right, good. Forwards done.
An hour.
Right, scrum halves. Thomas Williams is there and starting nine for me.
You've got to
commit to him now, I think.
How is he in the last 10 minutes of the game?
He was off. Like, Williams is on.
Well, he was off, wasn't he? Yeah. But the thing is, you're not gonna play in the last 10 minutes of the game if you're starting.
Not many nines finish games anymore, no. Well, I think it's the same three from the autumn myself. If you want to, you know, unless you've think anyone's broken through, it's just the same three.
I thought you had Reece Webb, Murph.
Well,
I knew Jed was.
Yeah, and captain.
I was surprised you didn't start with him, Jed.
He won't, though. You know.
No, I know he won't. But he likes him, at what point? No, he can't do, because otherwise he'd pick him. I think Williams has been in really good form, actually. And I didn't think he had a particularly special autumn. But he's been excellent in these European games and in some pretty trying circumstances. He's an X Factor player.
He played very well, didn't he?
I disagree, actually. I thought he got outplayed by Danny Kerr. I thought he got carried over the line pretty much by Danny Kerr, which is not a good look for a young aspiring international nine. Danny Kerr at the age of 34, 35, wasn't that type of player in his prime. And he got carried over the try line all the time.
Yeah, that was poor.
That was shit. And I wasn't impressed with him in the autumn. And no shame in it at all, but he got brushed off quite easily by Antoine Dupont, but then who doesn't? So I've been disappointed with him in the last 5-6 months. So
I was disappointed with him in the autumn. I thought he's been good since then. I agree with some of those points you've said then, but the tempo of that whole game was dictated from 9 and 10 from Cardiff.
Sure.
I thought the pair of them went really, really well.
Well, that said, no one else is putting their hand up, you know, Reece Webb aside.
I'm not being funny. There's no, like Gareth Davis has not played much rugby.
No.
Kieran Hardy's played even less, and when he has been in honking form.
Yeah.
And then what else have you got?
That's the bigger issue.
Rodri Williams hasn't played and isn't good enough.
There's no competition. You know, the competition is not strong enough at nine. We've said it for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah. Look, we would all go Reece Webb. We know that. But in light of the fact that Wayne's decided he's retired, it's going to be Thomas, and the other two have got no challenges. So even though, like you say, Kieran Hardy's not playing well. There's no one obvious to take his place.
I think we'd feel so much happier, wouldn't we, if Webb did get just with that all round game, the control. You know, he's not as pacey as the other boys, but he's still got a try in him from 20 or 30 yards out. But it's the control, isn't it? That experience.
Williams and Davis are in our side, which means we have to pick one other. And you're saying it's Hardy, Murphy.
I think that's what he will do. I would pick Reece Webb as first choice.
We can pick him.
Yeah, we can pick him then, yeah.
Instead of Kieran.
It's in. It won't happen in a million years, but that would be our choice. Right, 10, I think, bearing in mind in the autumn, Killick was genuinely close to getting a call-up. That's how few fit 10s there were for that New Zealand game. I think actually is quite interesting this time around. Bigger is still out and out first choice 10 for me.
Yeah.
Then after that, it gets a bit interesting. So we have Sheedy, we have Anscombe, Patchell has played a little bit of rugby. Mm. We have Jared Evans. I mean, Priestland featured in the autumn. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen again.
No.
Where are you going, Dan?
I'm going to go Anscombe.
Okay. As your second choice 10?
Yeah. As second choice, yeah. Yeah.
Murph?
Yeah, don't disagree. He had a dodgy game against Glasgow fortnight ago. But I think he's good enough to get over it and come back, you know, to his best. To me, I don't know if anyone feels different. It's the third spot is the contentious one.
Yeah, it is.
Well, look, if we're looking at what Pivak will do, Sheedy will go as second choice and Anscombe as third, I think. He will. He's definitely going to pick Sheedy as second choice. I'm sure of it.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It was this before I think Pivac, it was starting with Anscombe. I think it was before Pivac, wasn't it? Yeah, starting with Anscombe and then bigger off the bench. That was the end.
Yeah,
that was
Gatland's.
The end of Gatland.
2019 yeah. Grand Slam. Yeah.
Well, he hasn't actually had Anscombe fit very much since then. Pivac no. hasn't. So I think we might end up with those two being the match day squad players. But personally, I wouldn't pick Sheedy in the Six Nations squad.
You would
no,
not.
I don't think I would.
Who's your third then?
I think
Jared would be my third.
Yeah, I would go Jared. Or if he gets, I know he's picking a Tuesday, so he hasn't got any opportunity. I don't know how much game time he got this weekend, Patchell, but he was.
He got a half this weekend, or just under.
If he looked okay in that, I would pick him.
Yeah, anytime
he looked okay, as much as he didn't get injured.
Well, yeah, but then you just call up Jared. You know. And injury is not something that bothers Wayne. He'll have him anyway. Yeah.
Anytime.
So, I mean, the danger there is, sorry, Dan, the danger there is that you have got, outside of Bigger, who's playing loads of rugby, you've got Anscombe, who still has been managed very, very carefully and not played that much rugby this season. And you've got Patchell, who's played even less. Whereas Sheedy, to be fair, has played lots of rugby, lots of top flight rugby.
Yeah, but
I'm still yet to see that he's the answer at 10. But
well, I prefer Jarrett to Sheedy anyway, so that's not an issue for me. I know, like you say, we know Wayne disagrees, but so my third spot is literally a straight go between Rhys Patchell and Jared Evans. And so if you go in the who's got the minutes under their belt route, then it'd be Jared.
Well, that gets my vote as well, Dan.
Yeah, I think any time Patchell's been, you know, been relatively fit or just about coming back, he's been pretty much in the Welsh squad, hasn't he?
Yeah, the 2020. Like,
he hasn't, but
2020 Autumn Internationals, he was picked. It was a full year after he got injured from the 2019 World Cup. Came in, got injured again in no time, and then he's just resurfaced again this autumn.
He's obviously
this winter.
Like, so. Yeah, he's really well regarded, isn't he? I like him. I like him as well. But I think it's too much of a risk because Anscombe will be there. Good point, Jed, on the injury. I like Jared. I really like Jared, as you boys do. But I don't think Pivac. I don't think Pivac does.
No. Oh no. No, we know that.
Yeah.
But we're picking ours, so
yeah. I'd pick him in mine. Yeah, I think Sheedy will be there.
I go so far as to say Bristol have been in poor form. They're pretty much bottom but one or something of the English Premiership, and I think the absence of Randranda and the form of some of the players, including Callum Sheedy, is the reason why they're down that low.
Well, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy with Jared Evans in there. And I love Patchell, but again, I just think let him get a bit more rugby. And properly recover this time.
Yeah.
So I think Evans comes in for that reason. Right, we've still got 12 positions available here, which suggests that the maths was slightly off. But what's that realistic? So that could be 5 centres and 7 back 3 players.
Hmm.
Oh, that's not outrageous, is it? Let's work on that basis. Well, mind you, 5 centres feels like we're hard pushed to find 5 here.
Yeah. Can we get Rhys Davies in now?
Well, they would normally pick 4 centres.
You can, in which case, Dan, yeah. Rhys Davies goes into the... I thought you were talking about a centre.
I know he was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right. But he goes in...
No.
He goes into
we need as many second rows as possible.
Yeah.
I've stolen that from you, Murph.
4 right. centres.
Can never have too many second rows. So obviously, Jonathan Davies is cast iron, and I would say Halaholo is a cast iron, and then Nick Tompkins is going to be a cast iron, and there's one other, isn't it?
Watkin went well this weekend.
I'd have Watkin in my side.
I like Watkin. I think he's been outdone by.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. But well, I mean, what's the?
So there's leaving. That's
so you're then down to Scott Williams or
Kieran. Kieran Williams. People like him, don't they?
Oh, Johnny Williams is still injured, is he?
Johnny.
Well, he did. Yeah, he didn't feature today.
No, he hasn't featured this month.
Yeah, Well, yeah,
I don't remember him playing since the autumn, so I can't remember.
No, he didn't play. He didn't play in the game against the Ospreys on New Year's Day, did he?
And Naira and Owen.
I'm a Naira Owen fan.
Yeah, now there's a shout. I'm a massive Naira Owen fan. Yeah. I don't think he will feature.
I'm not sure he's playing as well as he was start of the season right now. So it's less likely if he didn't pick him in the autumn, it's less likely he's going to pick him now. But with injuries around the way with Johnny Williams, Scott Williams, I'm not sure he's going to turn to Scott Williams just because of age.
No.
And George North, obviously. So it could be someone like that. But I'm trying to think. I've got all the cover in the autumn. It was Nick Tompkins was the most regular selection centre.
So Ben Thomas was there as well when
Ben Thomas was there in the autumn.
We need.
He hasn't played for Cardiff actually, has he?
No, not much. No. Off the bench against.
Yeah, off the bench a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a lot of our centres, again, are injury prone, carrying injuries. We need someone that's going to.
That for me is why Watkin gets in. Yeah. He's had a decent injury record.
That's it. Yeah. He's.
That's not the only reason. I really like him. I think he's an underrated player.
In that case, based on the common sense we're using, that means Josh Adams will get picked as a 13. Again.
So that is. That then is what? Halaholo, John Fox, Owen Watkin, Nick Tompkins. I'm worried about John Fox, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Still worried. I know we've said it a number of times, but he's absolute class, but you just wonder whether that last injury is really taking it out of him.
Mm. Well, the other one that we thought might have got a look in the autumn, but didn't and then or got injured and then hasn't been back to his best since is Michael Collins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't, again, obviously we don't know, none of us went where he went yesterday, but generally he'd not been in good form since coming
back.
It looks
a little bit underweight, you know, for the type of rugby we're playing up here. So I would.
And thing is, he's a converted 13 as well, isn't he? Like in the start of his career he played a lot of 15.
Right, okay.
But I know what you mean. I think that's the four, isn't it? Halaholo, John Fox, Watkin and Tompkins.
I mean, as soon as we finish recording, we'll remember someone else, but that's always the way.
Yeah, it is. Which still leaves us, right, so 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. That leaves us with seven for the back three.
Good, because that means we can somehow shoehorn Jonah Holmes into the side, who's, in fairness, is not as play. He's, like a few people, he's not playing as well as he was when he was overlooked.
Thing is, he was playing so well, wasn't he? It was only going to get worse for him.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
He was playing that well.
Yeah, and it will demoralise you if you play that well and you don't get selected.
Absolutely, You think, what more can you do?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what he'll be doing. He'll be having a word with. He'll be having a word with his agent about getting a job back at Leicester when his contract's out. That's what he'll be doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If he's not likely to feature for Wales, he's not going to stick around in the Dragons, I wouldn't have thought.
No. Yeah, good point.
Which is, something to look forward to. Right, Josh Adams is in, right? Adams is in. We know that.
And Zammit.
And Lewis Rees-Zammit is in.
What about
that?
Owen Lane? Played very well on the weekend.
He did, and I really like Owen Lane, but my worry is about acceleration at international level. But he was great. He was absolutely great.
Well, he made the autumn squad, so there's no reason why he wouldn't make the Six Nations squad. Obviously the autumn squad was bigger, but
I don't think it was any bigger than this. I think it was 38 in the autumn.
I thought it was 40 something, 41 maybe.
Well, there was about 45 by the time it finished. Yeah. But
Liam Williams is going to be
Liam Williams
15
going,
slot.
Yeah, he had a horror show of a first half today.
And so is McNichol.
Yeah.
I
think I'd have him in there as well, actually.
Yeah, he played well in the autumn. So that's four. We still need more wingers. Who else played wing in the autumn? Oh, Cuthbert. Owen Lane, Cuthy. I mean, That was a late replacement, though, Cuthie, wasn't it? Because he picked Liam Williams, who wasn't fit.
Mm.
So I personally, like I said at the time, if he was going to pick one of the Ospreys wingers, I'd have picked Matt Prothero.
Yeah. He
played well. Played well.
He's just got more defenders beaten than Alex Cuthbert. So, but otherwise, you know, there's not with the carrying the injuries they're carrying as well to various people like Ashton Hewitt and and if you don't Jonah Holmes, we would have as well. So.
Half penny in a normal year would be
we'd struggle to be involved. We'd struggle to pick seven, otherwise. We don't actually.
So what are we saying here then? So we've got four who are pretty nailed on, and then outside of that,
yeah,
Owen Lane.
Lane's got to be in, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the man. He was
the centre. He's not going to play centre, is he? But
he was the man in possession in the autumn, so he hasn't played poorly.
But you could, in theory, have him with 23 on his back, knowing that he could cover centre in a crisis.
Yeah.
God, we should have said 36, Dan. Would you 38?
Yeah, I think we should say 36 now, because otherwise we're scrabbling around for young wingers.
Yeah. So you've basically got three wingers, and then Liam and McNichol, who can do. Do either?
There's plenty because you always end up in one of the games. You'll end up with a centre on the wing to finish the game.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's it then.
36.
Wynn Jones, Nicky Smith, Rhys Carey, Elliot D, Ryan Elias, Bradley Roberts, Tom Francis, Will Griff John, Leon Brown, Adam Beard, Will Rowlands, Seb Davis, Ben Carter, Rhys Davis, Wainwright, Morgan Morris, Ellis Jenkins, Basham, Shane Lewis-Hughes, Chris Junza, Jack Morgan in the forwards, Reece Webb, Thomas Williams, Gareth Davis, Dan Bigger, Gareth Anscombe, Jared Evans, Halaholo, John Fox, Owen Watkin, Nick Tompkins, Josh Adams, Lewis Rees-Sammet, Liam Williams, Johnny McNichol, Owen Lane. Tell you what.
Did we not pick Jonah, no?
We haven't picked Jonah.
Oh. Okay.
But we can. And we'll end up picking a 37-man squad.
Yeah.
He didn't play
this weekend. I'm presuming he's fit because it's been so hard to tell because the Dragons haven't played a game for however long before.
It was actually quite hard to fill out that squad because of the number of British Lions missing.
Yeah.
And also...
It shows when you look at that as well, doesn't it? Because you know, these are all very, very good players. What it's missing is you used to look at a Gatland squad and it was full of world-class players. Mm. You know, people who would be starting for the Lions. And obviously a lot of these are injured.
Well, it's a lot of follow-up. It was also a lot of inexperienced players in that squad, especially around back row.
Yeah, so we're lacking experience, aren't we? And we don't know how these combinations are going to fare as well, aren't we?
If you lose Tips, Falato, Moriarty out to your back row, then they're all Lions, yeah. And they're all got loads of caps, and that's where we are.
You lose Alan Wynn out of the second row.
Yeah.
You lose Ken at two, and that's
about 500 caps.
It's your pack ripped apart, isn't it? As good as all those back row players are, and you know. Beard and Roland and the rest of them are all very good players, but it's that experience, isn't it, of going and playing a load of games to battle harden yourself even more and become a proven international and then world-class player rather than being a player with potential. So I don't know, it bodes for a tricky Six Nations, I would say.
Yeah, it's where Ellis Jenkins and Bigger just so important, aren't they, with the experience in the side.
Yeah.
And the squad, you know.
Absolutely.
A lot of good talent, though. It's exciting. It's just how they're going to work together, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the squad is out on Tuesday, and obviously we'll react to that next week. I have no doubt that it won't look much like that, actually, but that's not the point. It's been enjoyable to pick it with you, fellas, so thank you very much. A thanks, as always, to our sponsors at So Coffee Trades. And a big thank you to Dan and to Murph for joining us. Right, we'll be back to chat rugby next week. Thanks for listening.